When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, spending time with the Professor Michael McFaul. He's the author of a new book, Autocrats versus Democrats. It comes not only from his experience as a reader, but also as someone who speaks Russian during the times of crisis in Russia. This is the late 20th century. Right now, we have a time of crisis in Russia in the early 21st century, and we don't know how it's going to come out. Michael has recommendation that Democrats in Russia are listening, and so they'll pay attention to how Michael's book is heard by the American people. And voices such as Michael speak out against what Vladimir Putin has rendered his country. Tens of thousands. We have no idea how many damaged families there are. We just don't know. We can only guess. But there is something to be done in the meantime. Russia is not integrated into the world trade system. It could have been. It was. But right now, it's being decoupled from the system, chiefly because it no longer can count on its energy being bought by the Europeans. What can be done with Russia now and looking to the future? Michael, this is the part of your book I most enjoyed because you're speculating about part of this century that I will not see, 2050 and beyond. And I'm counting on you to be there, Michael. So to answer questions about what you see, what can be done given that Vladimir Putin is a man who looks to be in charge, and yet there is a story, I hear it repeatedly, that he is not all that powerful because he's frightened of his right wing. His right wing is understood to be not just nationalists, but supremacists who are ready to use nuclear weapons at any moment. What can be done with an autocracy that is so sealed and yet it's so dangerous to our European allies and to world peace?
Well, most immediately, we can help Ukraine win. That would be good for Ukraine, and it'd be good for small D Democrats and liberal minded people inside Russia. There's just no doubt in my mind about that. And I'll tell you two stories about it. I've been in the room with Vladimir Putin many times when I was in the government. And one time I heard him say that we're different than you Americans. You know, he actually looked at his skin. He was meeting with Vice President Biden and he said, you know, your problem, you guys, you look at us. And because we look like you, you think that we think like you, but we don't. We're different than you. Now, that's his argument back home for why he needs a strong dictatorship, strong hand to rule Russia. But he also says that Ukrainians are just Russians with accents. I've heard him say that many times. They're just part of the Russian nation, artificially divided by us, first by the Bolsheviks, by the way, in 1917, then by the CIA, in his view, in 1991. But if Ukrainians are practicing democracy and freedom, that undermines his argument about why they need dictatorship in Russia. So I think consolidating democracy and, at the end of this war, even if it means some territory might be occupied by the Russians for a while, that will inspire change on the eastern side. By the way, not unlike what happened during the Cold War, where in 1989, those living under tyranny decided we'd rather be part of the prosperous West Germany instead of the autocratic East Germany. And they literally walked across that end of the Cold War. I can imagine an opportunity like that in the future. So help Ukraine win more weapons, more sanctions, so that this war can finally end. To your other point about the fascists, though, in Russia, they have real fascists. That's true. We don't know how powerful they are because we don't have good opinion polling, but they are strong, and they've gotten stronger as a result of this war, because they now believe that the world is out to get them, and Putin's weak. That's the argument they make. He's not strong enough. He's not fighting back. And I don't know what will happen in the post-Putin era, and I don't believe anybody that predicts it, but I do think there'll be a struggle between the liberals that want to get back with integrating and these much more nationalistic forces inside Russia.
That takes us back, doesn't it? The lessons learned of 62, of 91, of 89 in China, 91 in Moscow, they'll come again and again. When we are faced with what the plan B, if Putin goes, what do we do? Do we have an answer yet, Michael?
Well, I write about it in the book. Let's not lose the peace. I think we did that in Russia. And my answer is not to have illusions that we can foment revolution inside China and Russia. I just don't think we have the means to do that now. And we should be modest in the efforts and our capabilities right now. But when there is a breakthrough led by Chinese and Russians, not led by us, we have to embrace that moment. We have to engage that moment. We have to support the new democratic governments of Russia and China to a much greater extent than we did in 1991. That was an opportunity lost. We can't lose it again.
I come to your recommendation that I was most attracted to, which is to be inviting to the talent. We know that the talent of Russia started fleeing the moment the war started in 22. They're in Yerevan, they're in Baku. I've seen them in Baku. Russian,
oh, wow.
Whole rows of Russian restaurants opening in Baku. They're especially in Istanbul, especially, because they got out knowing that they weren't going to have their lives. These are well-trained young people, entrepreneurs. We can continue to attract them. Can we do more to attract them? Can we reverse this crazy, I don't know, I don't want to characterize it. There's an odd visa policy right now.
And yes.
I believe that does not open the door to the talent that could come here. Do I say that correctly, Professor?
Absolutely. And that's a great lesson from the Cold War, success from the Cold War that we have to replicate. We managed to through our immigration policy, to attract the smartest, most talented people in the world from everywhere, especially from those communist societies, right? They're some of the biggest companies where I live here in the Silicon Valley were created by some of those people. Sergey Brin, he came from the Soviet Union because we had an immigration policy to attract those people here. He's one of the founders of Google. And we need to continue that strategy again, and we're not doing it. We're not bringing in those people. We're not making it easy for asylum seekers to come. And now with this new $100,000 charge for H-1B visas that the Trump administration has put in place, I suffer from it myself. At my institute that I run, we had somebody we were bringing from the UK, and they got caught in this H-1B thing, and we don't have the money to pay $100,000 to support that visa. And that means that this incredibly talented individual that could be contributing to Stanford will not be here. And that's just a micro story of just, many, many people that we're losing. And this was our great strength back in the Cold War, that people wanted to come to America. They didn't want to go to Moscow. They didn't want to go to Beijing. And we still have that advantage over Beijing and Moscow today. But we're starting to lose it. And the Chinese Communist Party and the institutions that they control, they're throwing a lot of money at very talented scientists and professors right now to come to Beijing, come to Shanghai. That technological competition, that's going to be what it's all about in the 21st century. We have just got to have a smarter strategy, or we're going to lose to the Chinese.
You also mentioned about this no limits partnership between Xi and Putin. What can be done not to separate them, but at least to make them doubt each other? Is there any way we can weaken Russia that way?
I think yes, but with modest expectations, because Xi Jinping and Putin are close personally. They're dictatorships, and they're against the West. And what brings them together is their fear of us and our ideas, not our weapons, our ideas. So that's going to be hard to mess with. That said, I do see fissures. Xi Jinping does not support Vladimir Putin at the UN General Assembly when they vote. When there are resolutions condemning the invasion of Ukraine, he abstains. I think he doesn't want to destroy the international order because China benefits it from it. And I think, therefore, we should use those windows of opportunity to pull the Chinese away from Russia. We're not going to completely separate them. That would be folly. But I think there's more that we could do, especially to reduce the technology flowing from China into Russia and the money from oil and gas sales flowing into Russia that helps Putin conduct his war in Ukraine.
We're looking to the future now. We're looking to the future over these next years. And China looks to be the one with the most handholds when we come back. Autocrats versus Democrats, China, Russia, America, and the New Global Disorder. Professor Michael McFaul is the author.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Leica. I choose Ocrevus Sunovo, ocrelizumab, and hyaluronidase, OCSQ. Find out how its treatment schedule could mean more time for you. Ask your doctor about Ocrevus Sunovo and visit Ocrevus.com.
Ocrevus Sunovo.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Ah, greetings from my bath, festive friends. The holidays are overwhelming, but I'm tackling this season with PayPal and making the most of my money. Getting 5% cash back when I pay in four. No fees, no interest. I used it to get this portable spa with jets. Now the bubbles can cling to my sculpted but pruny body. Make the most of your money this holiday with PayPal. Save the offer in the app.
Ends 12/31. See paypal.com/promo terms. Points can be redeemed for cash and more. Pay in four subject to terms and approval. PayPal Inc. and MLS 910457.